Hope. It is the name of our church. It's also the theme for today's meditation. That meditation is going to come in parts today, and we will sing a chorus in between. So the words are not going to go up for the chorus. But you are invited to sing along. It is well known, and I'm sure that you can do that without the words being present. We're going to start with a reading, the reading of Psalm 147. Before we do that, we bow and we ask God, God, speak to us through your word. May it not just be a word, but may it be living and active in our lives. Jesus, fill our hearts. Spirit, speak to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 147, praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God, how pleasant and fitting to praise him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble, but casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make music to our God on the harp. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain and makes grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of a man. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. Extol the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion, for he strengthens the bars of your gates and blesses your people within you. He grants peace to your borders and satisfies you with the finest of wheat. He sends his commands to the earth. His word runs swiftly. He spreads the snow like wool and scatters the frost like ashes. He hurls down his hail like pebbles. Who can withstand his icy blast? He sends his word and melts them. He stirs up his breeze and the waters flow. He has revealed his word to Jacob, his laws and decrees to Israel. He has done this for no other nation. They do not know his laws. Praise the Lord.
Thanks, pity as he's given, Jesus Christ the Son.
How could a good God allow so much evil? Why are there so many religions? And how do you know yours is right? It's easy for us to celebrate. We live in a stable, free country. Well, what about all those who live in places torn apart by war, famine, and strife? I don't think that the church would be too ready to welcome that person if they showed up on a Sunday morning. I'm not sure I can believe that anymore. The things people say, the questions people ask, the questions that stump you, the questions you cringe to hear. Most of the questions that people are asking, however, are not the real issue. There are usually smoke screens hiding something else. What they really want to know is it true? What they want to know is why you still believe. How you can live a life of faith. And what they are really after is hope. They want to know the reason you have hope. Pier 21 was an ocean liner terminal and immigration landing point from 1928 to 1971 in Halifax, Nova Scotia. The pier was the primary point of entry for over 1 million immigrants and refugees from Europe and elsewhere, as well as the departure point for 496,000 Canadian troops during World War II. The facility became known informally as the Gateway to Canada. In its first years of operation, Pier 21 greeted many Dutch and English immigrants, as well as workers sponsored by employers. The Great Depression led to severe restrictions in immigration, and the war almost completely halted immigration. During the war, enormous amount of gold bullion were secretly shipped through Pier 21 to banks in Ottawa and Montreal to safeguard currency reserves of beleaguered European nations. Britain alone shipped over 2.5 billion in gold reserves in 50 different shipments, codenamed variously as margarine and peanuts, from 1939 through 1941. And at war's end, the pier welcomed returning troops, who were followed by war brides shortly thereafter. Following the war brides were several major waves of immigrants, beginning with displaced people and refugees from across Europe, including many Holocaust survivors. These refugees were followed by large numbers of post-war economic immigrants from countries such as Britain, Italy, Germany, and the Netherlands. The Canadian Museum of Immigration at Pier 21 website has compiled manifests and immigration records, along with stories and interviews that tell the story of Pier 21, cataloging hundreds of memories about the journey to Canada. If you like stories, or if you want to begin to get a better sense of the diversity of people represented in Canada, adding to the diversity of people already here, I encourage you to spend some time on the Pier 21 website. I did just that recently. I read through some of the many stories on the site, and I was struck by a number of things. I was touched by the many stories of tearful goodbyes, families split up as one or some were separated from others, the vast Atlantic Ocean putting countless miles and millions upon millions of gallons between families. I was struck by the discomfort and hardship endured on the sea crossings, choppy seas, and seasickness. Air, a heavy mixture of the salty ocean air laced with the soot and fuel fumes spewed by the ship's engines. Crowded spaces, and frayed nerves, says a Danish immigrant in a letter to his family shortly after his arrival to Canada, life on board is like an anthill. We are 149 Danes, some Swedes and Norwegians, and a lot of Germans, for a total of 1,400 passengers. And then describing his condition as a result of the nine-day crossing. The deck was painted with red lead paint, and it stuck to everything, including us. When it got wet, and so we really looked great when we finally reached Halifax. There they put us on a train that was so dusty that it covered all the red smear, and now we were charcoal gray. Countless stories, and each one a different and unique experience, of people choosing to leave the continent, to leave all they knew and much of what they loved, to step into the unknown. Thankful for the loving support of families left behind, and thankful for a new community quickly formed, bound by like interests and common need. Thankful to get off that ship and to set foot on ground once again. Thankful for the promise of a new start. And all of their journeys propelled ultimately by one thing: hope. Bill Hybels started a campaign a number of years ago under the slogan, "The local church is the hope of the world." This in turn has spawned the annual Global Leadership Summit, where people, whether pastor, staff, elder, deacon, or volunteer, gather to be inspired, to be encouraged, and to be equipped for roles of leadership and service in the church. This movement started to counter the growing disillusionment with church, about church, and about the place that the organized church has in the lives of people, both those who identify themselves as Christians and those who do not. It is clear from descriptions of the early church that it was noticed. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer, says Acts 2, describing the early church. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together, and they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, and hear this, and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The church enjoyed the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily This is the church described also by the creeds and confessions of our church, those things that summarize what we believe. What do you believe concerning the Holy Catholic Church? Asks the Heidelberg Catechism. And the answer reads as follows. I believe that the Son of God, through his Spirit and Word, out of the entire human race, from the beginning of the world to its end, gathers, protects, and preserves for himself a community chosen for eternal life, united in true faith. And of this community, I am and always will be a living member. The Belgic Confession, another creed of this church, adds the following words. This church has existed from the beginning of the world and will last until the end. As appears from the fact that Christ is eternal King, who cannot be without subjects. And this holy church is preserved by God against the rage of the whole world, even though for a time it may appear very small in the eyes of men, as though it were snuffed out. And finally, a contemporary testimony called Our World Belongs to God says this: our new life in Christ is celebrated and nourished in the fellowship of congregations, where God's name is praised, his word proclaimed, his way taught, where sins are confessed, prayers and gifts are offered, and sacraments are celebrated. The church is the fellowship of those who confess Jesus as Lord. She is the bride of Christ, his chosen partner, loved by Jesus and loving him, delighting in his presence, seeking him in prayer, silent before the mystery of his love, that he would love us. The reason that we write the word church with a capital C is to remind ourselves of the one who stands at the helm of the church. It is Jesus Christ who was given all authority, including that over the church. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body, says Colossians 1, verse 18. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead, so he is first in everything. Now, this is not a statement only of who is in charge. No, it is first and foremost a statement that is to fill the church with hope. The one who healed the sick, who forgave sins, who defended the poor, who challenged the complacent, and beat all the odds, defeating sin, death, and hell, he is the same one who now leads his church, who leads the church, who leads this church. And that makes the church a beacon of hope, to embrace all those who are lost and hurting, all those who are lonely and disconnected, all those asking questions, all those searching for hope in all the wrong places, though they don't even know it. So thank God for the church. Not because it's perfect, but because with Christ as head, she is, you are. We are together the hope of the world. When Anna Marie and I lived in Vancouver, we befriended a girl in our apartment building. It was a friendship that started by saying hi in the hallway, continued with conversations in the laundry room as we waited for the coin-operated machines to finish their washing and drying cycles, and blossomed over shared dinners and occasional outings. Anna Marie or I started each of these dinners with a prayer, explaining to our new friends that it was our practice to thank God for life and love and all that was good about life. Though she was not a Christian, did not go to church, and in fact had never gone to church, she always joined in, copying our slightly bowed heads and occasionally joined hands. We didn't need to explain after the first time. We just did it, and she always joined in. Just before we left Vancouver, heading east, we had a final dinner at a local bar and grill with laughter and tears as we celebrated our friendship and suddenly realized that we wouldn't be sharing these times together anymore. The food we had ordered arrived, and we were ready to dig in. Now, being conscious of being in a crowd, noisy, a public place, and not wanting to make her and perhaps ourselves feel awkward, Anna Marie and I started in on our meals. "Wait a minute," said our friend. "We need to give thanks." She held out her hands and said, "Can I pray this time?" And with that, she proceeded to give thanks for times we had shared and for our parting of ways. Sincere. From the heart. Real. Spoken with her hands clasped in ours, words that expressed gratitude for our friendship and the best for us as we moved, choked here and there by tears. Words spoken to a God she didn't know, or at least hadn't given her life to, yet. It taught us something. Something very important about both giving, thanksgiving and about prayer. It taught us that embedded in the practices of thanksgiving and prayer lies something that everyone needs and everyone can relate to. It taught us that at the heart of thanksgiving and prayer stands hope. I have never yet made a hospital visit where sometimes I also turn to the others in the hospital room, people I don't know. I don't know if they are people of faith, and I asked them, "Can I pray for you?" I've never once been told no. They all accept graciously words hope. Thanksgiving and prayer are disciplines of hope. For those of us who know to whom words of prayer are properly directed, who know the one who holds us and all things in his hands, thanksgiving and prayer are the disciplines that breathe life into weary and wearied lives. Thanksgiving is looking back and recognizing that through it all, God is faithful. The God who was there for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who shows love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. We thank God as we look back and put into words that through the years, God has been there with us to give us life and love and hope. Prayer, on the other hand, is committing into God's almighty and loving arms that which is yet to come. The future, and all that is unknown and shrouded in mystery, is not so to God. He knows. And he is there. Already there. Always there. And that's why we have hope. Why we can have hope. Because he hears the prayer of the righteous. And if you don't feel very righteous, let me remind you that you've been made righteous before God through the work of Jesus Christ. You, me, and even those, I suspect, who speak words into thin air looking for hope without necessarily knowing where to find it. People of Hope Church, become a people of hope. Put your hope in the one who delights in you. Put your hope in his unfailing love. Because hope changes everything. Father, you're the God of hope. You offer hope. You give us hope. You allow us to live with hope. When things seem dark and when we don't have answers and we don't know what is happening, Father, turn us to you. You are almighty. You are loving. You are the past, the present, and the future. In you and you only is hope. Keep us, Father, from disbelief, from doubt. Allow us to live. Hope